Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Thought I executed my pitches really well. Wasn't really leaving anything over middle part of the plate. I just didn't get my job done. I was the only one tonight that didn't do my job.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Not a good feeling to be the only guy that doesn't get your job done, but...
Well, he wasn't the only one.
Yeah, but... Are you going to argue with him?
No,
about it?
I'm not going to stop him. No, he did not get his job done. Mm. It was the loudest bad night among the Cubs, and it wasn't the only one. But what Ryan Pressly did really had never been done before. I'm sorry that was the most runs in an extra inning game that had ever happened at Wrigley Field. That had ever been scored at Wrigley Field. And so the previous record was 7 set in the 10th inning, according to Ed Hartig, the team historian, 1921. 1921, Mully. And so Ryan Pressly, he is only the 8th reliever in MLB history to face at least 8 batters without registering a single out. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2025 Chicago Cub closer.
Yeah, and again, they play this afternoon, and they probably didn't want to use up the bullpen, but I don't think you would just leave the guy out there for 9 runs if you knew that's what was coming. I think you felt like you were going to get out of it. Probably, oh, this is the one. Oh, no, this will be it. Oh, he surely will get this. I don't know how that happened. That was the weirdest.
It was painful.
The weirdest blowout I've ever seen.
It was the
not
most,
just this year, just a really weird.
It was the most lopsided blowout. It was the most lopsided close game you're ever going to see.
Blowout. It's a blowout. Let's
but
call it a blowout.
Before that, the Cubs made it dramatic. There were a lot of things
they
that get
back.
Overlooked.
Yes.
They came back. They're 5-3, and then Kyle Tucker with the big hit. King Tuck came through in the clutch.
Yes, he did.
Bring in the lefty. He doesn't care. Boom. He gets a base hit. Justin Turner, guy who we talked about yesterday. We had a caller or a texter. Maybe it was Dustin. But wondering what the heck Justin Turner's still doing on the team. That's what. He comes through in the clutch. He can pinch hit.
Yeah.
But when you don't have a closer.
It might have been me saying he should be DFA'd yesterday.
I get you guys mixed up all the time.
Yeah. It may well have been me.
I'm sorry.
I stand accused.
I confuse your hot takes.
Yeah.
They're very similar. Sizzling.
They're not. Thank you.
I'm kidding. But, okay, so let's prioritize the issues as we sit here this morning waiting for the Cubs to return to action as early as this afternoon at 1:20 pregame right here in the Score, 12:35. I think you've got
a closer issue.
You've got a closer issue.
That's your only conclusion after watching Ryan Pressly yesterday.
You've got a third base issue.
You've got a third base issue.
Reinforced by John Birdie, throwing to the wrong base, making a bad throw.
Yes.
Bye-bye, Birdie. That's the first thing that comes to mind. You've got a starting rotation issue still?
Colin Ray was not very good in that game. He was okay, but he wasn't, Verlander, future Hall of Famer, good.
No, he was not. And along those lines, you got news from Shota Imanaga pregame, who told reporters that he had texted Justin Steele to find out if, you know, the recovery from a hamstring strain was something that was easy, was hard. He just wanted to compare notes because Justin Steele obviously had that last year. Grade one strain for Imanaga.
That's a grade one strain is good. A grade three strain would be a disaster.
Yeah, the severity isn't as bad as it could be.
Right.
So I guess that's positive. That but
was
still
more good news on Shota. But they're also going to treat it like it's a more serious injury, it seems, because he's never had the injury. You keep pointing that out. I think it's a really important thing to remember.
He doesn't know what it feels like.
He doesn't know when it feels good.
Right. And that is an issue when trying to project when he will be back, which complicates the conversation about when Cade Horton should arrive. Because if you're going to be a month without Shota, which some people believe conservatively, we said June 1st yesterday, that's still in 25 days. If you're going to be four or five starts without Shota Imanaga, I still believe, even in light of Colin Ray's performance last night, I think Cade Horton can help. And if he can help now, you bring him up Saturday to face the Mets. I think that's the way you address one of your three pressing issues. Bullpen, third base, starting rotation.
We knew going in that they had three areas of concern. They had a starting pitching problem because Justin Steele is lost for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And now Shota's got a hammy of varying degree or concern.
It's bad enough.
Anytime a guy's on the IL, it's a problem. And for a guy who's never had an injury, you don't know if it's going to linger. You just don't know. But the bullpen has been an issue most of the season. And they thought Matt Shaw would solve whatever the third base boogeyman thing was. But now you got, again, you got the same issue going on because John Birdie now is going to make an error at that position. So,
well, he did. He just was indecisive.
Yes.
And I wonder if they're human. They're
aware.
Third baseman? Yes. I mean, they're aware of the defensive questions that are being asked about that position for the Cubs. And I only bring that up because Birdie was hesitant. He was going to throw home, and he didn't. Maybe he didn't have a good angle. Then he threw to first, and it was kind of like, oh. And it was a bad decision. It was a worse throw. And I wonder if that indecisiveness is a product of any anxiety that they take onto the field. I know they're major leaguers, but they're also not oblivious to what's going on and being said around them.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. Nicky Lopez doesn't take that anxiety onto the field.
He's a better fielder.
He's a defensive player.
He's a better defender.
And I don't understand why they didn't just let him play that position.
Well, Craig Counsell just wanted to play the percentages. That isn't surprising. Because Verlander's
John
on the mound as a right-hander.
Better than,
I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand it
at
all.
It didn't make sense because Nicky Lopez...
Yeah.
Lefty.
I thought they were going to give him a little bit of a run and just see if he could improve the defense of the position, if that meant anything.
Well, it does mean something.
Well, that's
what
I'm
saying. As we found out the hard way, it continues to mean something.
Okay.
It's one of those things that they have not been able to solve, and
now,
it seems unresolved.
Now they haven't won that series yet. They got to win that today.
And if they lose that series today, we're going to have another long show tomorrow. Not that today's a long show, but you're gonna have that kind of angst.
Today's show is flying.
Today feels angsty. Walked in here with kind of a little bit more angst than usual.
You were in a foul temperament. I'll give you that.
I was in a foul mood.
Yes.
Till the coffee just kicked in. I was feeling pretty down.
Now you're feeling pretty good.
I'm shot out of a cannon now. Thanks, Mitch.
You were ready to kick the dog. And well, mercifully, we don't have a dog.
The thing of it is,
here
the Cubs played pretty well for
they came
nine
back.
Innings to come back.
They came back, and that usually means they win. When they come back, it's usually kind of one of these, oh my gosh, can you believe what the Cubs did? They did it again. And instead, they somehow surrendered nine runs. I mean, it was if you had just gone to bed and let's just say you watched, extra innings, I got to go. I don't have time for this. And then you looked at the score, you would have been like, stunned.
Right.
Because they were blown out, but they were blown out in extra innings, which makes zero sense.
And it's also deflating how they got to the point where they gave up. I know the nine runs sticks out because it was historic, but Ryan Pressly hadn't been used since Thursday.
Yes.
He'd only been used twice in the last 2 weeks. And it reminds you of how unsettled such a key role on a good team is for the Cubs. Mm. Because if they are going to be this 90-win team, and yesterday we were talking about, and I even think I even said, well, they need to compare themselves to the Dodgers, to the Mets, then you got the Cubs and the Padres, and those are your four best teams in the National League, and the Cubs have to think that way, think big.
All you keep saying, and you've been saying this for a little bit now, is win the pennant. It's not about winning the division. It's about winning the pennant. And you want to change that conversation because they're doing so well in the division.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you win a pennant when you need a third baseman and a closer and a bullpen, let's be honest, and another starting pitcher?
The answer is an emphatic no.
Right.
But also, it's an emphatic no, but it's also a reminder. And the reason why this is we're harping on this, or at least I think it's important to harp on this. It's May 7th, and you have a front office that is creative, that has resources, and is aggressive, and also has a sense of urgency. So if you're Jed Hoyer, for example, I think you wake up this morning feeling that greater sense of urgency. The bullpen arm who wanted to be the closer from Houston doesn't look like a guy that right now you can trust very much. And I know that may be an overreaction to one bad night, but it's been a couple weeks and he hasn't been real sharp. I know Craig Counsell pointed out before that he'd only given up one run in okay. But in reaction to last night, it underscored an issue. So Jed's got the resources. He has the time, and now I think it shows you what you don't have.
Okay, so in reaction to last night, let's just talk only about what happened yesterday. Where do you rate the needs based on that game last night? What do you need, number one, number two, number three? We know they need three things. Third, bullpen / closer, starter.
Realistically, the thing that you need the most – as I sit here this morning, maybe it'll change tomorrow, I think is bullpen help. I think is bullpen reinforcements. Another arm that you trust. Another high leverage reliever that can get swing and miss stuff. Can bring that to the mound. I don't think you have that. I think that's priority one. And not just because Ryan Pressly failed last night. I think also you saw it when Julian Merriweather was inconsistent the night before.
Yeah.
And you see Porter Hodge, who has tremendous promise but is untested in high-leverage situations in a pennant race. I would prefer to have somebody more proven in the bullpen, another arm you can trust as often as you're going to need a relief pitcher in those situations.
So right now, just now, you're thinking Shota's coming back. Maybe Cade Horton can be the resolution of the issue with Justin Steele.
I like that solution to a problem that is current and obvious. Yeah,
and
you're thinking,
well, Matt Shaw starting to hit a little bit. Maybe he could be the answer by the end of the year at third base.
That's my thought process, is that you do have potential solutions to those two other problems. You have in Cade Horton somebody that I think, as we discussed yesterday, and we'll continue to address, a guy that could give you 75 pitches, five innings, and be a starter and the fifth guy in your rotation. Fine. You have Matt Shaw, who is making progress toward being the solution to the third base problem. You might have to wait a month. Okay, fine. I don't know where that answer is in the bullpen.
Yeah.
That's the most unanswerable question. And so the solution to that problem isn't quite as obvious.
So May 7th, we're saying bullpen.
May 7th, we're saying bullpen.
That's fair.
And it was reinforced by a 9-run 11th inning that was history in the making at Wrigley Field. And difficult to watch. Difficult to watch.
Yeah, it was impossible to watch.
I kept waiting for him to go to the mound.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for him to go to the mound. I thought, what are you – why now? What, another batter? And you're leaving – okay, you don't want to burn your bullpen, but – he ended up going to Caleb Theobar.
Yeah.
But
well, you had to just to get out of the bloody inning.
6-1-6, dude. Hodge was a closer for half the year last year. Okay, but do you really feel like your problem is solved if Porter Hodge is your closer? Don't you need another arm?
Let's get to the phone lines. Rich is in Milwaukee. Hey, Rich.
Good morning, guys. I called last week and said we needed a third baseman, and David said, well, it's not that big of an issue. We haven't had one for 3 years. We haven't had a closer for 3 years. Jed Hoyer is not resourceful. He's been drafting pitchers for 5 years, and the only one we keep talking about is Cade Horton. Come on, let's get to reality. They need a lot of stuff. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Did I say that last week?
You have a tendency to try to make people feel better. You tried to help Rich get through the issues. No, yeah, I don't know that you said that last week. I don't. Why? What did we say this week? Okay, I mean, don't push me.
Well, I don't know that. I would dismiss the third base issue like that.
No, and here's the thing. You've been waiting on Matt Shaw for a little bit. You've been waiting for to develop someone. They used 7 different third basemen last year. They used 6 already this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe go back to the first one, Matt Shaw. Maybe that's where you end up.
That may be the most logical solution.
What surprised me about yesterday's game is I was not prepared. I thought Nicky Lopez played well enough and had resolved the error issue at third base, and I thought that was what they were after. And I was surprised that he didn't play. I was surprised they went back to Birdie.
Especially with the right-hander on the mound.
That's it.
And that was as strange of a decision as I think that came out of last night. I did not have a huge issue with PCA in the 10th inning, not bunting with Michael Bush, I believe, Seiya Suzuki was on third base.
Yeah.
And there was one out. And I understand why people saw that and would think PCA makes sense, bunt, try to squeeze in a run. But I also think PCA, remember the conversation surrounding him going into the game, and that is still relevant. He's hot. He's going to make contact. You don't expect him to have a bad at bat there. And I don't think he's a terrific bunter either. So I was okay with that decision. I had no problem with him taking that approach to the plate with PCA there.
Yeah. I mean, would he be – you're talking about a squeeze situation. Is that the idea?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't he be as likely to have a long fly out as a
– Thank you.
The way he's
hitting the ball. We talked to Lance Brozdowski yesterday about all the bad balls that PCA is barreling up. And so he's much more likely to hit a fly ball for a sacrifice fly or to make contact or just get a hit than I think he is to successfully put down a strategically placed bunt that he doesn't do very well.
But as we've said, like, that should be a part of his arsenal because he is a speed guy and he can wreak havoc and he could probably reach on a bunt and then steal second and third. I mean, I'm just saying.
It should be.
But it isn't.
But your 36-year-old closer should be able to not give up 9 runs.
But the fact that it isn't is okay. Well, then let's pick some nit. Let's try Phil. Phil's in Lombard. Hey, Phil.
What's up, Phil?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And as much as I've enjoyed the beginning of the season for the Cubs, I think we are still talking about the same problems that have prevented the Cubs from making the postseason the last 2 years. And like I said, with this strong offensive start, kind of masked what Jed Hoyer has failed to do, and that is, again, number one is secure a major league closer. I want to say 5 of our top 100 prospects, Owen Casey, Kevin Alcantara, James Triantos, Moises Ballesteros, they are all blocked and are not going to make the starting lineup of the major league team for the immediate future. You've got to use them as trade chips to go and get, like I said, a major league closer. I know you guys have talked about Mason Miller potentially, and I think another guy that might emerge here in the near future is Josh Hader. Is Houston going to wind up going into a total rebuild? They've gotten rid of Bregman, they've gotten rid of Tucker. He may be next, and I think that the Cubs got to be in line to possibly think about that option. Third base, again, Jed didn't, I think that could wait maybe a little longer. I agree. I think Josh Lopez and, defensively, if the rest of the lineup keeps hitting, could suffice there. And maybe Matt Shaw comes around. But that is definitely, I think, the second thing they need to address. And, again, these are things that, before the season, we all knew they needed to address, and they just didn't.
Thanks, Phil. Yep. Yeah. We'll get back to the Cub conversation.
Yeah, we will.
A lot of good points there.
We got Dan Pompey next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Elephant in the room, Shedeur Sanders. What happened, Tom? Why did he go so late in the draft?
It's a good question. I wasn't a part of any evaluation process or to
Skip
to
Bayless
see
says
that.
Otherwise.
No. Well, everyone's got every, That's the problem with media is everyone can just say whatever the they want. I actually texted Shedeur because I know him very well. And I said, dude, like whatever happens, wherever you go, like, that's your first day. Day two matters more than the draft. I was 199.
Yeah.
So who could speak on it better than me? Like what that really means. Use it as motivation. You're going to get your chances. Go take advantage of it.
Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the Hall of Famer, Dan Pompey, writing for The Athletic, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, fellas. Good to be with you today.
Well, it's interesting because we just played a cut from Tom Brady. He was on the Impulsive podcast, and he basically said that he had nothing to do with taking or not taking Shedeur Sanders, and he did text him because he knows him. And
there's a relationship there.
Yeah, and yeah. He's Tom Brady, and he is the kind of, the main guy you think of when you think of people impacting the NFL after being a late draft pick. So Tom would have loved to have gone at the 144th pick or wherever it was Shedeur went. He was 199, as you hear him say there. And yet he is also a team owner, and he said he had nothing to do with any of this stuff, but as you're right, he had something to do with hiring a John Spytek, who is an old college chum and who is running the show for the fine folks with the Raiders.
Yeah, and I know he was involved in the quarterback evaluations, both in the draft and veteran evaluations as well for the Raiders. So, you know, look, I'm sure that Tom looked at, evaluated Shedeur Sanders and had an opinion on him. A lot of people thought that the Raiders were a logical landing spot for Shedeur. But, you know, you still have to have the general manager and the head coach, probably the offensive coordinator, on board with the move too, in order for it to happen. And, you know, they obviously didn't think that was their best way to go. They ended up drafting a quarterback in the sixth round, Cam Miller, North Dakota State, who I know that, you know, they think has got some potential. But, yeah, it is interesting because Tom does have a connection to Shedeur, and, you know, maybe he didn't necessarily think that he was the next Tom Brady as a guy who, you know, fell late in the draft and was going to be a star.
Great story, Dan, in The Athletic, John Spytek and Tom Brady and the connection. What was your biggest takeaway about anything different in terms of the approach that he will take to the job, and how much more involved will Brady get as he continues to kind of try to strike a balance between Tom Brady, football analyst for Fox, and Tom Brady, part owner for the Raiders?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is he understands the optics of his involvement in the team, which you knew he would, right? Because, like, one of his great gifts is self-awareness. And I think, you know, he, as a result, is not forcing himself into the situation physically. He's not there, you know, during a lot of the meetings and during the draft. He's doing a lot of these things remotely, but he's still involved. You know, I think he's a big reason why John Spytek is the general manager of the Raiders. As I write in the story, they have a connection that goes back to the University of Michigan when Brady was a star senior quarterback, you know, leading the team to an Orange Bowl victory. Spytek was a redshirt freshman on the scout team. And, you know, they played against each other and had some interactions. Then, of course, Spytek was a big reason why Brady came to Tampa and succeeded in Tampa, along with, of course, general manager Jason Light and head coach Bruce Arians and some of the other people they had there. But, you know, they have history together, and they are working together now. And they're talking on the phone a lot. They text a lot. And Brady is involved. But he also is not a guy who's telling Spytek, look, you have to do this, you have to do that. He's saying, I trust you. I helped put you in this job, which he did. He was involved in the interviews. But, you know, I'm giving you the power to do what you think is best, which you know, may explain the Shedeur Sanders thing, to go back to that.
Yeah, I you know, I got to tell you that I know that there is an obsession with the Shedeur Sanders stuff and how he responded and what he allegedly said to the Giants and Brian Daboll, and you know, the whole thing is such a circus. Just this idea, I think that we've seen quarterbacks, especially where, you know, if you've got to have something that is really attractive to people to be selected high in an NFL draft. I've never seen anyone fall like that, but at the same time, you know, there was a difference of opinions among some NFL people as to exactly what you could get out of him. I just feel it was a more complicated issue.
Yeah, it was. You know, if he were any position other than quarterback, it probably wouldn't have been so complicated.
Yeah.
But because, you know, your quarterback is your potential face of the franchise, because if that person is not your starter, you know, you've got other issues with chemistry potentially. You know, that probably led to some teams backing off on him. But, you know, I think it was widely accepted by a lot of people, a lot of teams, that he was the second best quarterback in the draft, the second most attractive prospect at that position. So the fact that, you know, he was chosen way beyond that is baffling. Now, it was a weak year for quarterbacks. That's the other thing. Mm. So do you believe that the second best quarterback in the draft can even be an NFL starter? Will he be an NFL starter quickly? You know, will he be able to lift a franchise? You know, those are things that factor into it too. Because if you think he's a backup, if you rate him as an NFL backup, you know, now it's a different game. You look at for different qualities from a backup, and maybe you like one of the other prospects better for a number two than you do Shedeur Sanders.
Dan, you cover the league, and the big story around the NFL this morning is that the Steelers traded George Pickens to the Cowboys for a third-round draft pick and a draft swap next year. What is your reaction to that deal?
Yeah, you know, interesting, because Pickens, obviously, you know, you put Pickens and CeeDee Lamb together, I mean, that's one of the two of the most talented wide receivers that have ever played together. I mean, you know, if those guys are going and Pickens is behaving himself, which obviously he doesn't always do that, you know, but if they can get his head right, I mean, they're going to be really, really difficult to cover, those two guys. And Dak Prescott's going to really have a lot of opportunities, I think, to make big plays. But, you know, there's a reason that Pickens, I think he's probably been available all off season. You know, they obviously acquired DK Metcalf a long time ago. And, you know, there hasn't been a great market for him. He ended up going for basically a third-round pick. So that tells you a little something about the downside with him. And now it'll be up to Dallas, Brian Schottenheimer, Jerry Jones, and Dak Prescott to try to get it out of him and, you know, make him a more consistent performer.
Is Aaron Rodgers more likely to land with the Steelers now? Is that more likely to happen, or was that always more likely to happen than not? And is it possible it doesn't happen?
Well, until it happens, I guess it's possible it doesn't happen. But, you know, I think all signs point to it happening. My guess would be, and it is just a guess, just that Rodgers doesn't want to sign too soon because he wants to wait before, you know, he wants to get past some of the OTAs and that sort of thing. So if you recall, when he was with the Jets, you know, there were sometimes controversies, even with the Packers, when he didn't come to all of the off-season things. Well, if you're not on the team, there can't be a controversy about it, right? So, you know, he can kick back in Malibu or, you know, go on an ayahuasca journey or, you know, whatever he wants to do at this time of year. And then, you know, when he's ready to fully commit, he could come in and, you know, put the cape on, and who knows, maybe save the day. I mean, I'll say this. There are a lot of starting quarterbacks in the NFL who don't give you what Aaron Rodgers gives you in terms of talent and ability. Now, are you comparing him to most of the quarterbacks in the league? Because if that's the case, you know, he's okay. If you're comparing him to what he once was, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you say, well, maybe he's lost a little bit. You know, maybe his legs aren't the same. Maybe if he gets beat up a little bit, you're going to see it more than you once did. You know, maybe his mentality changes a little bit. When he gets under pressure, he gets hit a lot, but still pretty good. And, you know, if you surround him with the right people, have the right coaching, which, you know, the Jets obviously were a mess. You know, I think he could have a good year with Pittsburgh.
Dan, we only have a minute left, but as the Bears get ready for rookie minicamp this weekend at Hallis Hall, what draft pick intrigues you the most?
Well, you know, I'm, like everybody, I'm really intrigued with Loveland. I think he could be a star. I think, you know, I think With Ben Johnson, you could see him, you know, he's better than Sam LaPorta, more talented than Sam LaPorta, you know, maybe T.J. Hockenson. When I was talking with Scout before the draft, there was a really interesting comparison. He compared him to Greg Olsen. I think he's that type of player. And, you know, obviously the Bears never really got out of Olsen what the Panthers did, but he's probably capable of those kind of Panthers numbers that Greg Olsen had.
The only man that can't compare to Olsen is Tom Brady.
Full circle conversation. Great stuff, Dan.
Back to Tom. Yep. All right, guys. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're the best. See you, Dan. That is the great Dan Pompey.
You know I love that comp.
I know you do.
I know I love that comp.
You raised an eyebrow at the idea that Sam LaPorta is not as talented as Loveland.
No, I think that's a high praise. I raised an eyebrow because it's high praise from a guy that doesn't necessarily exaggerate.
No, but I think it's accurate. I think there's a reason one guy was taken as high as he was and the other guy was a second-round pick.
Fair enough.
I
did raise my eyebrow.
You did. I saw an eyebrow raise. All right. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
They couldn't finish hitters, essentially. I mean, that was it. You know, and it snowballed a little bit, and you know, we got to a point where we're just trying to get through the inning, and we just didn't play. The last 10 or so outings have been, I think he's given up 1 run in the last 10 outings. So it's been pretty good. You know, the swing and miss we're struggling with, and that's the finishing the hitter. You know, but he's been making pitches for sure. Just not tonight.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Craig Counsell.
Okay.
And he's talking about
All's well.
Yeah.
It's okay.
He's talking about
it's some
horror stories that
we're not
to see here. Move along.
It's gonna be okay. You know, momentum is the next day starting pitcher. And the Cubs have to regain some, but today the challenge is tough. They've got Robbie Ray against Ben Brown.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray is 4-0, 3.05 ERA. He's a lefty. Who's playing third base today?
It would have to be Nicky Lopez.
Really?
Against
a lefty?
It doesn't matter. It's not about what he can do at the plate. It's what he can do in the field.
We're going
to
be birdie.
Don't you have to defend to start with defense?
I think so.
Well, that's all I'm saying. I would start a guy. I wouldn't even concern myself with what the statistics say. I would put a guy out there that's not going to make an error.
Ben Brown on the mound for the Cubs, coming off a pretty good outing.
Yeah, he was great.
Last time we put the pressure on him, maybe he should feel that kind of pressure again. Maybe we should put the heat on Ben Brown again. Maybe we should say this is going to be a day that he has to step up because his manager called him out 10 days ago, whenever that was. They need a strong outing from Ben Brown. They need the bullpen to stabilize, and they need to get a victory. They need to win a series.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, all that stuff that we said yesterday, all the good vibes will feel a little bit less good.
That's fair. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
So Robbie Ray's not going to be easy either. So that's going to be the guy that they have a good pitching staff.
Yeah,
Giants have some really good veterans.
You know, and I'll tell you something. That's what you can expect if you're actually going to be
in the playoffs?
Talking about competing for a pennant, right? You better be able to handle good pitching staffs. You better be able to – they got the best offense in baseball. They scored 5 runs yesterday in regulation.
And boom, they're never out of it.
No.
They're never out of it. I think John Birdie will play today because he does have a home run against Robbie Ray. He has a home run.
Well, let's hope he can field the ball against anyone.
Nicky Lopez does also have a 500 average against Robbie Ray lifetime. Small sample size, though. I don't know if you go with that. Dustin, you were about to say something. You were about to jump in.
Well, Robbie Ray has been susceptible to the walks this year, so I think another thing is your approach today, your at-bats. And again, now we're talking about Ben Brown responded. Now, a lot of there was some pushback on Ben Brown, like, well, it's pretty easy when you're up 6-0. Okay, well, now, like, this is another step up. He's been better on the road than he's been at home. He's been awful. Ben Brown's not been good at all at Wrigley. So this is a big – all the things, and Mully, to your point about it's important. These are the teams you have to beat if you want Craig Tober to be a thing.
Is this a Carson Kelly day? It's got to be, right? Got to get your big lumber in the lineup.
I guess, but I don't know how.
Has he been receiving Ben Brown?
That's what I'm asking.
Has he been his catcher kind of thing? Maybe that's a thing.
Not that.
I mean, Amaya did hit a home run last night.
Yeah, Amaya was fine. Not that there's a personal catcher thing going on because both guys are split, but I'm just curious.
I know.
How about the Chris Kamka stat, speaking of Amaya?
The Chris Kamka
Verlander, stat. Verlander allowed a home run to Amaya and to Cubs skipper Craig Counsell.
That's crazy. He's been around a long time.
I sit in wonderment when I watch the games and Kamka comes in with these. I'm like, how do you do it? How does that stuff come up?
He did it for years covering the White Sox.
He's a tremendous asset.
Yeah, he's great.
Tremendous.
Great hire by Marquis.
Yeah, no question.
You know, he's a resource, very valuable. I thought you were going to go into the Verlander lament because back page of the Sun-Times this morning, Steve Greenberg with a very good column recapping and recounting the days that Justin Verlander wanted to become a Cub.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda been Cub.
Yeah, and he said, whoops.
Yeah, he's...
They missed him.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, first ballot.
Right?
He's on his way.
He's got 3 Cy Youngs, I believe
first
he is.
First ballot. He's one of the best pitchers of this generation.
Second place finishes in the Cy Young. Yeah.
Yeah. Outstanding career.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm surprised he's still pitching.
I mean, the guy must just love it, right? Why else? How old is he now?
42. I believe he's 42.
That's older than you think.
I'm surprised, but the Cubs got to bounce back
today.
That's
how you pitch to Craig Council.
I know we're going to talk to Ozzie, but there's plenty of Cubs stuff still to pick over at some point because there, that was a crazy game last night.
Yes, it was.
Nine runs in the 11th. Had never happened before at Wrigley Field.
It was insane. And it probably left us with more questions than we needed.
How about just a nice mundane 4-3 victory today? Nice mundane 9-inning, 2-hour and 17 minutes.
Get a W today.
Just get a W.
Yeah, just fly the series.
Win a series.
Find a way to win a baseball game.
Get a day off.
That's it. That's it.
I think it's going to be really. I mean, it's hard to flush that one. That's one of those ones where the manager says you just got to flush it or throw it in the lake.
Yeah, but I think that if you're a good baseball team, you can do that. I think the Cubs have been a really good baseball team, and I think they will flush it and hopefully win today. We're going to talk about the White Sox. They found a spectacular way to lose yesterday, too. And we've got Ozzie Guillen next. Mully and Haw on the score.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.